Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, my loves. Welcome to the Give Them Lala podcast, or welcome back. And for any newcomers, welcome to the circus. Woo-hoo! I've got Easton.
I'm half a brain today.
Well, that's standard.
Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. Half of a half a brain today.
I'm totally kidding. Jessica, how are you?
Hello, I'm a brain and a half today, so I got you.
Did you get a lot of sleep?
I got such good sleep.
I'm so jealous.
We're so jealous of
you. I'm sorry, you guys, because can you tell everyone how your night went?
Well, Ocean and I took her to Sky Zone yesterday, and we spent the weekend with Bo and Stassi in Hartford, and we had like the most fun weekend in the entire world, and Ocean was thriving. And then all of the sudden after Sky Zone, it like hit her like a ton of bricks, just sobbing, my mouth hurts, grabbing her face. And I'm like, this came out of nowhere. I was freaking out. I go to urgent care and they're like, it's 40, and I thought he said 45 minutes, and I was like, 45 minutes? And he goes, no, 4 to 5 hours. I was like, change the sign on this place, because that ain't urgent.
No. No. Right.
Are you performing surgery back here? Like, I'm in a strip mall, and you're telling me it's going to take 4 to 5 hours? Come
Not
on now.
Strip mall.
So I went to CVS, got the little gun thing to check the temp, because anything that goes near her actual body, she freaks out about. The temperature, I was not super concerned about. It was 100.
Okay.
But I'm like, okay, we're all good right now. I'll keep an eye on it. I got her some ibuprofen. Lisa emptied out the nerds bag, put the ibuprofen in there, said, you get the last one and it's only because you're sick. Gave it to her. She thought that she had, and she's like this, guys. I'm like, isn't it good? She's like.
Wait, is this kids chewable candy? Not IB. Okay, okay.
No, it's ibuprofen. Like, but kids. It says ibuprofen, but it's like kids
chewable tablets. Oh, okay, okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
And Ocean doesn't take medicine because I used to put it in her bubba, and that's why she looks at her bubba now and goes,
She's so
looks
smart.
Sus. Looks sus. A little sus. So she's terrified of medication now. But she took this thing and it was nerds, and I was like, if you're not gonna eat it, I would love to have it because it's the last one. And me and my mom are sitting there staring at her like,
eat it.
If you don't eat it, we will. Eyebrows up to my hairline. Making her all the scared in the world. And she ate it. Temp came down. She was acting normal. But she kept me up all night long, every single hour with this.
With the pain.
Yeah. So my mom's taking her to urgent care. That was a long-winded story, but that was my night. And I'm tired AF.
We have two tireds.
Yeah. Easton's always tired, though. Tell them what you're struggling with, TT.
I feel like it's anxiety or like panic attacks. I can't sit down and relax.
Well, at night only?
No,
throughout the day.
Right now, I could feel like it's settling. Like it's just I need to move around. I don't like being in one area. But it just recently started, what, like 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like it started when you found our dad.
Yes, but it's just, yeah, no, yeah. It started when I found Pops. But
yeah.
After that, it was like a month of how I'm feeling right now.
Okay.
But I got over it. Don't know how, but now it's back.
Yeah.
But also, his birthday is today.
In 2 days. No, it's not. It's in 2 days.
Well.
Oh, yeah, today. It is Wednesday.
Oh, today when this airs.
Yeah, when this
happy
airs.
Birthday,
so happy birthday
to
my dad.
March 27th.
So, and I don't know if like that is like a thing that's weighing over me subconsciously his birthday. So I don't know. I just am not really loving who I am right now and sitting with myself. But I have a doctor's appointment coming up.
Yay!
So I'm gonna go in and see what we can do to figure out what is going on in here.
Right.
And, I hear you.
And be able to just sit and relax. Like if I'm on the couch, I'm happy for a minute. And then there's just something that will trigger me where it's like, I just need to move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the wildest thing and it just sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I question for you, because I told you, and they wouldn't mind me saying this, I have a lot of, like, myself, my family members deal with anxiety, and depression is huge throughout my family. And we've all dealt with it different ways. But for me, I never like to push this on anyone, because when this was pushed on me, I was like, shut up, I'm not ready. But for me, I've started doing therapy this past month. I do it, I go once a week for myself, just individual therapy. And it's like, for some reason now in my life, if this was a year ago, I would have dropped out, because I don't think it would have made much of a difference. Right now, it's like a game changer.
Because you're open to it? Is that what it is?
It's either I'm open to it or like, more open-minded, yeah, something like that. Because now it's just like, I go in and I'm like, I don't really have anything to talk about, but let's see what comes up. And then all of a sudden it's like,
it's a whole slew.
I'll be crying by the end.
Yeah.
So it's great. Yeah, well, it's been great.
Can you send me a link or anything to where you go?
I will.
Okay.
I think that would be good for you, TT.
Yeah.
Because Easton recorded a song about my dad after his passing, which we're approaching in April, April 21st. My dad's, it's the 6-year anniversary. And Easton did a song, an incredible song, after my dad passed. Easton has met people in his building who are in the music world, very talented. And Easton did a song and sent it to me over the weekend. Yeah. And when I listened to it, I loved it. Easton's very, very talented.
Thank you, by the way.
A really great writer. He knows music very well. I trust his opinion when it comes to music. He knows things that are classy, things that are trashy. But this song was also about my dad. And I think that's amazing. I want you to sing about what you feel. But it's been 6 years, and I want you to always sing about dad.
Yeah.
But I want you to talk to somebody.
Yeah. No, I need to be healthy while talking about it.
Right, because there's obviously something underlying that I think, unless you're a doctor, I can't help you. You can't help yourself.
And that's the one thing that's like, really, that hurts, is like when I wake up in these panic attacks, sweating and things like that, like I can't even pinpoint it. Like, it wasn't a nightmare that I saw and can go back and be like, all right, here's how I can start from here. I just wake up and I'm just in a black hole. Like, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, this is what doctors go to doctor school for.
And it's probably so common. And thank you for sharing that, because I feel like a lot of us go through stuff and I'm like, I'm never going to admit that. And here you are talking about it on the podcast, probably helping a lot of people already.
If you deal with it, you're not alone. So reach out to me as well. And maybe we can all start a group of, how the hell do we do this?
People that are in a hole and not quite sure how to get out of it. Yeah, I think I appreciate you sharing that such a huge platform with so many people listening. And that's a big deal to admit something
but
like
it's
that.
It's to the point where, like, I've dealt with it so long, it's like, I just don't.
It's your norm.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, whatever. I'll talk about
what
it.
What a nightmare. What a nightmare.
I know. Oh, God.
I do thoroughly enjoy, though, when Easton, I mean, I know that he goes home, and then all of a sudden, at like 2:30 in the morning, he's popping into my bedroom going like, and I know he's bounced from every bedroom and couch in the house.
Couch,
you so name you it. Get up, drive to Lala's?
Oh, last night. So last night, I was hanging out with Bach and Mo and Sicko. And
he's his friends
Bach
in
Mo
the.
And Sicko.
Yeah, shout out them. They're the ones who are helping me with the music.
Amazing.
Really well. So I was over at their house last night. I probably fell asleep on their couches watching TV at like 12:30, woke up at 1:45, went to my bed, and tried to lay down from 2 to like 2:30. I was like, I can't do it. So I just got in the car at like 2:45, got to her place at 3, crawled in Lisa's bed. She was chewing away, so I went to the cabin.
She was guiding ships through the fog.
We love her.
So I was like, all right, this is not the greatest. So I went over to the couch, and then I was just walking around the house. And like, the other thing is, she has her like armed security in her bedroom, so she can hear everything. So it's like, front door open. So I'm like, I am stuck in this house.
And I'm like, I'm either getting robbed right now or Easton's here.
Easton's
and I guess
it.
I'll find out which it is, because there's no way in hell I'm going to go seek what's coming. I like.
But so I'm like walking around.
Slowly, I like stop breathing to try and hear, like, are they going through anything?
I'm not going to find out. Just take what you want. But so I'm walking around just pacing.
Yeah.
And I just hear like her talking.
Lala?
Yeah, like what time? 3:30, 4?
I was up every hour with my kid.
Oh. And she was like, you gotta take it. You gotta lay down. So I like opened the door.
I was not screaming at her. No, I was telling her, I'm like, if you're not gonna take the ibuprofen again, you can't cry anymore. And she was like, okay, mama, I'll take it. And I was like, okay. By this time, I was so tired, I didn't even pretend like it was nerds. I'm like, it's medication. Eat it.
I open her door. Lauren has her eye patch above her eyes, sitting straight up going through it.
I'm like, hi, Easton. Welcome.
Her hair looks like mine. Oceans. Yeah. She's just looking at me. I was like, oh, my gosh. What
and then
going on
Easton
here?
Crawls in the bed.
And I'm like, whatever. I'm getting in. And I'm like, I can't deal with the foghorn.
No. And I'm like, welcome. We're watching A Bug's Life. Because I didn't even care at this point. She's like, I want a movie. I'm like, fine, whatever. Don't care. As long as...
Just let me sleep.
And then she's like, Easton's in my space. And I go, technically, you're all in my space. Okay?
I don't even...
I'm about to kick all of you out.
Do you understand how successful this... You guys would never allow this to happen. But a real world type show and or a 24/7 streaming at your house would be, we would be tuning in constantly. 4 a.m. Let's see what they're up to.
No, for real.
Let's see if Easton's there yet.
I'm up. I'm there. Yeah, we're doing things.
And then Issa would shoot out of the bed and I'm like, you're fine. Calm down.
She'd go, Easton, you're fine. No, I'm not. I gotta go.
That is so sweet. Your father. You've got Lisa.
I am
mom,
a father.
Your dad. Oh, that's so sweet.
And then I'd walk out, go into Lisa's room for 15 minutes, and then get sick of...
To the couch. I didn't sleep at all.
I know. When she said that, she was like, I did not get a good night's sleep. I was like, at what point were you not awake? I was hearing you all night.
So funny.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code Lala at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/Lala and use code Lala at checkout for 25% off.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
To shift gears, we had a fabulous weekend. Easton came over with all of his friends to watch March Madness. Apparently, there's 571 games on a day during March Madness. I was like, well, what time is the game? He's like, they're all day. They're all day. And I'm like, okay, but what does that mean? Like, what time? You know, kind of like football. And he's like, no, like, there's 16 games today. I'm like,
madness.
It is madness. It is March Madness.
It was madness.
So they came over. Lisa was, you know, cooking up a storm.
Was she?
Well,
she
I mean.
She was Betty Crocker.
Did no, she make buffalo chicken wing dip?
Nah, she preheated the oven.
She did, but it slapped. Fabulous. It hella slapped. Then we all got into the hot tub. And there is a story that at some point I want to tell, but apparently it only happened 2 weeks ago and Ethan's friend begged us not to talk about it because it's too specific. But it has to do...
It will be told.
It will be told.
Can we...
Has to do with puppets. And okay. I will be telling it.
Do can what we know we have who it has on? To do with the person? Is it Landon?
I can't even tell you who. I can't even tell you. We were sworn to secrecy. Because obviously when he told it, I go, this is great podcast material. I have to tell this story. He's like, no. You cannot. No,
you looked at me and you go, you have never brought this up to the podcast?
I know. I was like, are you crazy? This is grade A content.
People best. Like us, you know how many talks I've gotten? Kyle goes, listen to the podcast today. Let's have a talk.
Oh, my friends are constantly texting me after. They're like, by the way, this is not to be discussed on the podcast. And I was like, thank you for telling me. I will
and
not
it
tell.
It will be discussed.
100%. No, we won't. But it's like the jujitsu gym people. They go, this doesn't go on the podcast. And I go, got it. Copy
no,
that.
Totally. You know, because I'm just out in these streets sharing everybody's business, not knowing they don't want it told.
You know? Why
everyone's
they
except mine.
So then I go on to tell my own business. And everyone's like, you should have kept that to yourself. And I'm like, if only I knew how to do those things. Keeping things to myself. What a concept. So Easton's other friend did have a story that he said we can share on the podcast.
Love it.
Easton Landon. Would Landon.
Good. Okay.
He's part of the Orca Pod. Tell us. Tell us, Easton.
Landon is about to go on a mission and
he's a Mormon.
He's a Mormon.
Not now.
Not now.
This was back in the day.
Yeah. Okay.
When Mormons go on missions,
yeah, 12
they're
years
young.
Ago.
Okay. About 12 How
years.
Old was he?
I think it's like 19. No.
Well, 18
I think you go at 19.
Got it.
Right? Yeah. After high school.
I think you usually get back at 20.
It's I don't like know.
The, yeah, well, whatever it is.
Okay,
but
so
he's
19.
He wears glasses and contacts. Well, he was going to go in for LASIK, so he didn't have to do that when he went on his mission to Brazil.
Okay.
So, it is a year long, like, leading up to this. His eyes don't have enough to, like, cut. They were too flat.
Got it.
So he had to do, a lot of different things throughout the year to prepare for this surgery.
Okay.
He does it all. Day comes. He takes the Valium, lays on the table. The doctor comes in. This is in Salt Lake or Orem, Utah.
Okay.
The doctor goes, I had a dream. The Holy Ghost came to me and he said that you shouldn't get this surgery. So I don't want to do this. So Landon is just on a Valium and now is just like,
what?
Okay. Doesn't get the surgery.
He prepped for a year for
prepped
this.
For a year. Didn't get it because the Holy
He's
Ghost.
High. He's high as a fucking kite.
If I were Landon, I would have said, well, the Holy Ghost came to me last night and said I need
this
surgery.
Do this shit right now.
Are you kidding me?
So never got LASIK because the Holy Ghost was...
Holy
was
Ghost
not,
did not come through at that
did not.
Time. Not for Landon. Maybe for
I
the,
don't
the
know,
doctor
though.
Was probably tired.
He didn't get sleep. Maybe
I'm
his
telling
child
you what,
was up in his bed all night.
Someone rolls in and says, the Holy Ghost told me not to do it. Bye. I'm going to enjoy this Valium and catch you next time.
I would have been can I get another Valium just for the inconvenience?
Or another opinion from someone else?
What did your friend
Ghost?
Say? He was like, I'm going to need to talk to another religion, get their opinion.
get
their opinion.
Get another religious opinion.
Like, for real. Or like, did the Holy Ghost tell you we could do it next week? Like, we've got it.
No, he just said.
He never got it.
He just walked in.
He had to go on his mission.
He went on his mission with glasses
with
and contacts.
Glasses. Mm-hmm. Does it? How about now? Does he?
No, still
glasses
has not done
contacts.
It.
Probably another year prep.
I'll pray about this and let him know.
Isn't that wild, though?
I mean, if somebody came up to me and they did that, I'd laugh and be like, no, we're doing this, though.
That's crazy. When I was in college, I went to get on the plane, and inside, I thought, God just told me. This is crazy, you guys. Oh, my God. God just told me not to get on this plane. I can feel it. I'm not getting on the plane. I think I told someone next to me, I'm like, I feel like we shouldn't get on this plane. And they were like, oh my God, really? So I call my dad because I'm flying from home back to Nashville. I go, Dad, I got to fly out tomorrow. And he's like, what the hell, Jessica? He listens to me. I'm panicking. Nothing happened to the plane. Everything was fine. So
usually that how to.
So I think it was just my anxiety and I put a reason to it.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
God is
I was
the
like,
reason.
Oh, it's the plane. Gonna go down. It didn't go down. So
well, we're really happy about that.
Me too.
Because who would answer my emails if that would have happened?
Oh, yes, we need you.
Just joking.
You're the family brain.
But poor Landon.
I
poor
think it's
Landon.
Absolutely hysterical.
Oh, it's so great.
Yes.
High
funny.
As a kite.
In other news with my child, I would like to let you all know that my baby has been accepted into preschool.
No! Stop it.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one we wanted?
Yes.
Yay!
And it's wild out in these, it's like the wild, wild west out here in these preschool streets, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I go on this tour with Sheesh, okay? There's other parents there. And they're like, how old is everyone's child? And this mom's like, my baby's going to be a year next month. My baby's 15 months. And I'm like, they get to me. I'm like, three. These people really, there's a waiting list.
Yeah.
You have to like get on it so that your child is ready to go to school at two. And then as the years move on, you just get bumped from, you know, whatever they name, because it's preschool. So it's not like first grade, second grade,
yeah.
Obviously, but they have cute little names for the programs. Anyway, they make sure that they get their kid in at the age of two. Could you imagine sending your kid to school at 24 months?
24. Here's my question, though. And this is a legit question because I'm like, why is this so competitive? Is this a thing where if you get into a good preschool program, you're kind of set up all the way through high school? Like,
yes.
That is, okay, that makes
feeder
sense.
Schools. Yes. They really like tee you up and they sit there and look at the child and they're like, I think that this school would be best for your child. And I went to public school. I find that there's nothing wrong with public school. However, LA is a different game when it comes to the school system in general, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that Ocean, because what I'm gathering, like when I watch Summer, Summer's going to be the kid who sits down and is into like placing things where they need to go. She's very honed in. My child, it could change, is not like that. My kid is all over the place. Summer Moon is drawn within the lines. Ocean's scribbling, and then she's over it, and it's on to the next. Summer Moon is, like, keeping her Play-Doh separate. Ocean's putting all the colors together, making it brown, and I'm like, oh, yeah. No. This is, like, really testing my
Virgo.
My Virgo, for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I want someone who's, you know, an educator to look at Ocean as she goes through these, like, peak years of her development and say, I think this school is going to be best for your child and how she learns, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So yes, that is very true. It's competitive because you want to get into schools that are great. And yeah. if you're in a feeder school, that's
you're
excellent.
Set up.
Is it how, feeder? I thought you said theater.
No,
Feeder school.
Oh,
feeder. So
okay.
From kindergarten, they'll put her at a good first and second
wow.
grade,
yeah.
like or in a good elementary school and then a good middle school.
Great. Just, well, congrats.
She's teed up.
Thank you.
I know, it really is big. So congratulations to you as
thank
well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I felt, I sobbed.
You did. I was there.
I certainly did.
Call.
Ocean also, and Summer will be going to school together, which yeah. is great.
How do you think you're going to be when you see that little thing walking with her backpack into
oh.
school?
I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. Same.
You know, and I kept thinking, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I won't. I know Ocean won't lose her mind because she's been having to separate from her mama since the age of 7 months.
Right.
And so I'm like, maybe I also won't freak out because I do have to part ways with my child for, you know, hours on end, days. Okay. Yeah. But it's not even about like the separation. It's about like my baby is going to school now.
That's what I'm saying. Your baby. She's a baby. How
yeah.
is she going to school?
I don't know. And I tell her, I say, you're my baby. And she goes, no, you have a baby in your belly. And I go, but you're always mommy's baby. You're always mommy's first baby. And she'll say to Gigi, because mom will say, like, you're my baby. And she'll say, I'm mama's baby.
Oh.
I freaking, my child's rounded back to magical.
Has she?
Yeah.
Even with last night.
That's even with last night, she wasn't feeling good and she's not cussing at me anymore. It was bath time. And she goes, Mom, you know fuck is a bad word. I go, it is a bad word, so stop saying it. She goes, no, fucking is a bad word. I go, so stop saying it. So I'm telling you it's bad. I go, I know. And she goes, TT says fucking. I go, I know. Stop saying the word. Stop saying the word.
She's
I said
so
it.
Funny.
I was on Bluetooth and I didn't know I was on Bluetooth and I said it and I just hear her right in the back go, fucking.
No. You dropped the F word not knowing that Ocean
That's
was in
I
the
was
car.
I dropped it and then I heard her repeat
and she goes
it.
Like this. She goes, TT, you do not say fucking overweight. That is a bad word.
I was like, glutes.
Why is she the best?
She is the best. And one last story, and then we'll move on from Ocean Kent. But, okay, so I've tried to keep her in her room. And she treats that time as like, let's raid my closet and put on every article of clothing that I own.
Raid your closet. Or
her own. Okay. And she gets all dressed up. At this point in time, I've told her, girl, I'm done. Better stay in your bed. You come out of this room, I'm not playing. I'm not playing anymore. So I go upstairs. I'm reading my book, whatever. The next morning, I come down and mom goes, I have to tell you and show you photos. She said, last night at 12:30, Ocean comes in with all her new clothes. She has put on her new little pants, inside out and backwards.
Killing it.
She's got her new t-shirt on. She's got these new ballet flats. This brand, Hux, H-U-X, sent the most fantastic clothing. I love this brand, okay? I've purchased their clothes. I've posted her in it, and then they sent me, like, a cute little package. Obsessed. Anyway, she has on glitter glasses. She walks into my mom.
At midnight.
She walks in.
She poses.
One leg, like, cocked, one leg, you know? Hands on the hips, head to the side. And she poses for my mom to take pictures. And then she goes, shh, you cannot tell my mama. And my mom goes, I was like into it for a minute. But then like the clock kept ticking and it's like, okay, we're almost at 1 a.m. And she goes, I can hear your mom. You better go to bed. This girl, my mom said she hauled ass.
Into her room.
Faster than if Santa Claus were coming. Because she thought mama was coming. But I'm like, this is so stinking cute. Like, even though I can't get you to bed, I really love that, like, she's a little fashionista, man.
Fashionista, imagination. Mm-hmm. She's posing. She's a model. I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Bright future ahead of that one.
Yep. Anyway, you
guys. That's hilarious. I need to see these photos.
I'm really obsessed with being a parent. I think I might have an umbilical cord hernia.
Why do you
think
that?
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing because my belly button started hurting at Ocean's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is that? And then it seems to be like the tiniest little bit of a bulge. Tiniest little bit. Okay? And it is sensitive. So, of course, I Google it. I Google that shit. Bulge near the belly button. Pressure near the belly button. Have all that. Belly button is tender to the touch. Yep. Dull pain that becomes worse with exertion. I'm not exertioning myself. But I assume if I did, it would hurt. nausea and constipation, yes.
You have that without being pregnant.
Yeah, but usually a good cup of coffee can get it moving.
Okay.
Listen to this. Thanks to the body's design, umbilical hernias are still pretty rare in pregnant people. They are estimated to occur in just under 1% of pregnancies. If you think I didn't text my doctor and say, first of all, my ego's going to love if I'm part of the 1%.
The 1%.
Second of all, it hurts, and I need to know if this is an umbilical cord hernia or umbilical hernia.
Yeah.
Because it is less sensitive.
Is it? Lie. What did they say? And I'm like, first off, about
well, he's got to look at it. You're going to pass out?
The thought of a hernia? You were talking, and I was like, whoa, I'm going down.
No. I'm sorry.
No. Is it? What did he say?
He said, I'll look at it when I see you next. He was like, I wouldn't worry about it. I doubt that it's that, but we'll look at it.
But if it is, congrats. You're so unique.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The next thing I want to say before we move on to breaking news in Potomac and also VPR. Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys, someone DM'd the podcast page.
Uh-oh.
Yes. And they said, don't know if you're interested in this, but I found this TikTok, and it's a Reddit thread on who has bought followers from Vanderpump Rules.
Stop it.
I swear. Okay, let's start by saying this. I don't know if it's fact. I'm just here reading the headlines, reading the comments section or whatever of the podcast, and reporting things that I find interesting, even if they're not entirely true.
I cannot wait to hear this. Also, my heart is racing.
Okay, again. Spell. It may not be 100%. Okay. All right. Let's preface it with that. So I don't need any of my Vanderpump Rules cast members, OG or now, to come for me. All right.
Okay.
Let's start with the most followed VPR person, okay. OG, Stassi Schroeder. 3.3 million followers, zero inactive. So inactive basically means they were purchased bots. That's why they're marked as inactive. This is what the DM is saying. That's why they're marked as inactive. I wouldn't know how to do this shit. If you paid me $1 billion, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Inactive just means it's a bot. They're not real. So hers is zero. Music Kills Kate, 1.63 million. Again, allegedly. It shows that her inactive following is 43.6 thousand.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Next is me.
Okay.
2.36 million. Zero! Zero inactive, bitches!
Hey.
I wouldn't know how to purchase a follower. And by the way, I've inquired. I'm like, yo, how do you get your following up like that?
Bye, bye, bye.
I have no shame. Just kidding. But then you get the price.
Oh, is it pricey?
How much
is it? I just know from, like, this person I used to be with who used to pay.
I was just gonna say that.
I'm like, you're spending that much to get your following up each month? You're crazy. I would never.
And people can tell from your activity.
Of course you can tell. I mean,
you got a million followers and you're getting, like,
30 comments?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You're like, what's going on here?
Okay, now remember, these could have been purchased at any time, even before they were on Vanderpump. So, like, the next is Ariana. At this point in time, she had 1.53 million. She now, I think, has 2 million.
Okay.
But her inactive is 707,000.
Wow.
Yep. Next, we have T. Schwartz. He's got 1.11 million. He has zero inactive.
Schwartzy.
Tom Sandoval. Scandoval himself. The man who looks you dead in the eyes and tells lies. Guess what? He's rolling in at 1.01 million and zero inactive.
Woo! I was not expecting that.
So he may fuck the best friend, but he is not purchasing followers. That's where he draws the line.
I was not expecting that. I thought he was going to be the most inactive.
No, how wild is that?
Wild.
James Kennedy, 918,000 followers, and his inactive following is 17.1 thousand.
Okay.
Allie Luber, we have 114K for her followers and inactive. So when I read the first one, it says real followers and then inactive followers. Mm-hmm. 66.5 thousand inactive followers.
Okay.
Kristen Doty, 707,000 followers, 252,000 inactive. This game is fun.
It's 11-11, like guys, but anyway, keep going.
Make a wish?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Vanderpump, 2.7 million real followers. I think she's now in the threes,
mm-hmm.
but her inactive following at this time was 477,000.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Sheena Shea, 1.72 million. Her inactive is 48.2K.
Let's also state, I don't know if this is true or not. Do you think when you hire, if you hire a social media team, do you think they might be like, we're going to purchase them some followers with that?
I think if your team is advising you to do that and they don't know enough about, I would think if my team advised me to do that, just because I know I've seen where Instagram goes through and clears out the bots.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why your team would advise you because your following has nothing to do with your engagement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a brand comes in and wants to pay you money to promote their product, they don't give a shit about how many followers you have. They care about the engagement that you have. Like, my mama's engagement is probably, like, 98%. It's wild. She probably gets just a couple thousand shy of her entire following viewing her page.
That is fantastic. Yeah, they look at insights. I will say the following will bring, will pique their
bring
interest.
Eyes, yes, but they always ask, can you send me her engagement?
Yes.
Okay, Jax Taylor, we have him around a million followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has inactive 953K.
Whoa.
Again, allegedly. I don't even know if this is real. It's just interesting someone sent it to the page.
Yeah.
And I have to, like, it knows that I didn't purchase any followers. It knows that Stassi didn't, right?
Yeah.
Brittany has, I think, around 1.5 million. The ones that are, there are some where it's like they're saying give or take on the actual real following, which is weird. It's not doing it with the cast that's here now. 937 inactive.
937,000.
937,000 inactive. Wow. So I thought that was interesting.
That's very...
How much does it cost to...
Not the look!
How much does it cost to purchase all those?
So all I thought that was interesting.
Not the look!
Right at the camera. That's funny. I like the office energy.
You do?
Yes. No, like The Office, the show, where he, like, you're like Jim.
Oh.
Where he says something.
I thought you meant The Office, ours. Give them voila.
But I also love that energy as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoy your energy.
Thank you.
As well.
Look at
us. Breaking news in Potomac, by the way. Fantastic season. They have a lot of episodes.
Potomac?
I just got caught up and... The last one I watched, and it was not the finale, was episode 17.
Wow. How many do they have? 20? Do you know?
I bet that there's one more for 18 storyline episodes and probably 3 reunions.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're killing it. Amazing. Wow. Candace Dillard, the singer, and Robin Dixon, Juan's wife, are out of filming Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay, what do we mean by out?
They're not coming back to the show.
Did they quit or get fired or what?
You know, that I'm a little unsure of. I highly doubt. I would be shocked if they got fired. But then again, I was shocked when Dorinda was put on pause because she was excellent television. Sometimes people get a little bit too messy. Do I feel like they got too messy this season? I think there's no such thing. They were at each other's throats. They had a very, very strong friendship. And then it just went left. And Candace Dillard loves to be up on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, you know? And there's two people on Bravo that I would never go up against verbally. That's Kenya Moore and Candace Dillard. I would never. I don't know. The Grand Dom also can throw some shade.
Didn't you beat Kenya Moore out for Shade Queen during BravoCon or something?
Yeah, but I still think she's the queen of shade.
Yeah, queen of shade.
She is the queen of shade.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I think I probably beat, because Scandoval kind of took over everything.
Right, right, right.
We were at the forefront. It's like we were the show that everyone was talking about, you know, cable's number one hit show. Here's a couple Emmy nominations. Of course, people are going to probably get on, not even really know what kind of shade I've ever thrown ever and just click because that's the show that's being talked about.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever beat Kenya Moore in, like, the real world. Ever.
Wow, this is wild. So then they'll be replaced, you think? Or do you think it'll just be same cast?
I don't know if they'll be replaced. They've got a hefty cast right now. They've got, I think, eight main players. And then a couple players that are on the that are bench warmers that come in hot and, like, really do the job.
The friends of?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Haven't seen
only
a lick
time
of it.
Will tell.
Don't sleep on Potomac, Easton.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
It is really, really good. I'm actually excited. I'm a little bummed that we slept on it for this long, 17 weeks straight. However, once the reunion airs, I'll be able to recap like a champ because so much happens. Wow. Yeah, there's never a dull moment. You know how some episodes are like snooze fest and then the very end leaves you hanging? You're like, okay, next week will be a good episode.
Yes.
No. Every single episode, 5-star, 100%, you get an A.
Okay, so we're watching it now. Because we did Miami and Beverly Hills, but now should we be watching Potomac?
I mean, yes, I don't think you need to start from, if you don't want to start from the beginning, you don't have to.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with, that's like my favorite thing. I've got 17 episodes that I watch back to back. I know what I'm doing on Sunday.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Did you guys watch Vanderpump?
Of course.
Of course.
All right, perfect. Let's get it popping.
All right, Vanderpump Talk. First and foremost, that I wrote in my notes, is your creation lunch. Creation is a place with Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jumping forward a little, but I laugh. Kyle and I laughed out loud when you were telling the girls. You were like, I went to juice with Schwartzy or whatever. Do you remember that part? You're like, I went to juice with Schwartzy. Yeah. And I don't know why I laughed so hard, because people would be like, I went to a drink, or I went to coffee. You're like, I went to juice with Schwartz.
I went to juice.
And it made me think, like, she must not go to juice very often.
No juice.
Me? No, I don't.
Can I ask a BTS? Who picked that location? Schwartzy?
The Creation place?
Yeah.
Yeah, Schwartzy picked it. And by the way, Creations are all over LA and they're amazing, but yeah.
That's the time?
I got the poop enforcer. And when I tell you the stomach cramps that I had, to where, for the first time ever, I may or may not have shit myself. Okay?
Lala didn't realize what Senna does. And that's all I'm going to say.
Just shy of kills you is what Senna. I will never again.
Yeah. Senna's tough.
Tough. I was bent over in the fetal position being like, what is wrong with me? This is how I die.
Right.
Yeah.
My nightmare.
No, it's awful. It's really bad.
It was horrific.
It's
but
bad
yes, I went and got.
It's bad for you.
I went and got juice. I went
juice.
And got the juice.
Okay.
That's where he drops the bomb.
That's where he drops the bomb about the makeout.
Mm-hmm.
Had you heard this before at all?
Sheena swears that she told this to me.
Okay.
But you can't remember it.
And I'm looking at her going, and literally she told me, because she's just watched the episode,
mm-hmm.
and said, do you really not remember me telling you this? And I'm like, you can tell me all the live long day you told me, and I'm not calling you a liar. I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
I do not recall this conversation ever happening.
And I would assume that is a conversation you would have remembered.
I kind of remember most things.
That's what I'm.
Was this years ago when you were drinking? She said she was telling you.
Well, yeah, because she was.
And I don't recall the timeline of when she told me that she told me. So.
Well, I feel like
when I was drinking, I wasn't super close with her. I don't think.
Oh, you weren't.
No, we kind of went like after season six. We kind of fell off a bit.
Okay. Because that's the only thing I could think is when she told you when you were hammered or something.
No. I think I would recall.
But I think even if you were hammered and heard that, you'd be like, oh my God.
Well, but I feel like if I were hammered and would have heard that, Katie and I got really thick around season 7, 8, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would have told her.
Yeah. Very. Well, it's very, you could tell you were shocked. Schwartz, it was very much, I don't know what he was doing in this moment. I, as a viewer, am watching him and going, why is he saying this? Did it slip? Is he purposely saying it for some sort of reason to be like, we're all, you got light up on, you know, lighten up on Sandoval. We all make mistakes.
That's what I felt like it was more like.
Okay.
I think he was, all season, I feel like people were getting the sense that I was tired of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know when we changed up what we do and how we do things, but y'all seem to be moving in a way I don't like. I don't know when we started, like, keeping this is feeling very, like, season four of when I came into the picture, and I like to think that we've all evolved since season four.
Yeah.
Well, some of y'all are pushing 40. Like, get it together.
This came out at the end of the episode. I have that in my notes, but that was, like, the tone.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe he, like, kind of dropped that, hoping it would be, like, just kind of a throwaway line.
Right.
And it was not. It was like, let's go back to that. But I feel like the initial was, we've all made mistakes. We've all hooked up with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, interesting scene. So Katie comes to your apartment. You mm-hmm. tell her about the makeout with Schwartz and Sheena. And is this the first time you ever told her? Is this obviously?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I would have, had I known about this, I would have told her sooner. I told her as soon as I found out.
Okay. Can I ask a BTS question?
Yeah.
Do you say beforehand, or do you text her and you say, hey, I've got a bomb that I'm going to drop, just a heads up, or hey, or no?
I think had Schwartzy and Katie still been together in the moment, like, I would have said, I just want to give you the heads up.
Okay.
But they weren't together.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like she needed to know, but I didn't think that it would weigh as heavy on her now, because it's like, of course, that Of course he did that.
Right, right. Moving into the episode, now that I'm just thinking about it, you said you didn't think it weighs heavy on her now. It seemed like it did a bit.
Yeah, it did.
What are your thoughts on that? Because part of me was like, oh my God, I would be definitely reacting the same way. It's like, ugh, I was like in the dark. And another part of me is like, is she just kind of clinging on to this to make it a problem?
Yeah.
To be angry about something?
Just so she could be angry at something. That's what I got.
Okay.
It's going to be really hard for me, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Going forward and talking about these episodes.
Okay.
Because when I left that reunion, I truly look at everyone differently.
Really?
Yeah.
More than last season? Because last season you seemed to look at some people differently for sure.
This is a different type of thing.
Okay.
This is like, ew.
Okay. So then no comment?
I think we should move on.
Okay. No comment. Good.
I like
know.
The question about.
I did mine.
Yeah.
About Joe.
Joe was feeling very uncomfortable, and I could tell she felt uncomfortable. Sheena, I don't think, has it in her. She's very shady at times. It doesn't hit as shade. It hits differently than that.
Yeah.
But I don't find her to be like a bully.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
But I do feel like Joe felt bullied in that moment where it was like the five of us. We're all dressed the way we're dressed, which looked like a very intimidating group of people.
Yes.
And you've got Sheena, who's pulling her hat off at the very beginning, being like, show your braids. I really give props to Joe. You remove my hat. I'm not violent. I'm punching you in the fucking face.
I was just going to say.
You touch my hat, I'm punching you in the face.
Do not touch. What if I'm, there are so many reasons, like now. Oh my God, if you removed my hat, everyone would be horrified. I have sweaty, greasy hair underneath. Don't touch my stuff.
It's just completely inappropriate. I love Sheesh.
Yeah.
All the live long day, you fucking touch my hat, I'm taking your head off, like Easton said.
Yes.
All right?
Yes. I'm glad you said that because I was like.
A hat for a head, bitch.
Right? So I feel.
I felt like there were two moments where I was like, good. One was where you said something to Sheena. You're like, damn, I think I wrote it. But you said. She was being shady, and you said something like,
you're an icy bitch.
You're an icy bitch, which was, like, good because you were keeping it light. You weren't making...
I was trying to keep it light.
Yes.
I was trying to keep it very light. There was a lot of heaviness happening. I hope that Joe does feel uncomfortable. I want her to feel uncomfortable. I was like, this space is weird, okay?
You want her to feel uncomfortable?
No, that's what Katie said.
Got it.
And for me, I just was, I'm not there anymore. I don't like these conversations. How do I make light of them and kind of try to move on? Whatever.
Mm, yeah. And Allie said something too. I could tell it got cut out a little, but Allie did say something like, she started saying, I want her to be able to come to these events or something. I think Allie was in between, just in the middle. I think she was in the middle. I think she wanted Joe to feel comfortable, but also, you know, wanted to respect you guys. So, yeah.
I don't know.
It was interesting to watch.
Well, Allie's very sweet. Yeah. Allie's not going to let anyone fall down the black hole of what is the initiation of Vanderpump Rules. It's very intense.
You can tell and how uncomfortable that could be. I thought Joe's always been very sweet to me. She was at the live show. She was like,
I truly believe she's harmless.
She's so sweet.
Yeah. I think she moves without thinking.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, you could call that dangerous. I get worried about people who move without thinking. I totally get where Katie's coming from. But at what point do we say, like, okay, you're getting mad at literally every single person that's coming in contact with Schwartz?
Mm.
You know?
Right.
Every single one of them. Now, the way she moved, sending Katie that text and then moving in with him is like, oh, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
But when you meet Joe, you're like, oh, I get it.
Right. Yeah.
What do we have next?
Okay, we could do, so you walked in on Sandoval's emotional moment. Did that air?
Is that what it was last night? I go to the house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to affect you a little, but I want to know, were you uncomfortable or were you like, wow, good for him, this is powerful? Because your face.
Also, your face was.
First of all, when
priceless.
I walked in, I felt like someone was fucking him with a butcher's knife. I was like, what is going on?
Isn't that for anxiety?
I'm not,
that
I don't.
That you did it for, like a breathing thing?
It's healing. It's ultimately healing. Okay, for me, I know what it feels like to talk about changing and have people say it's bullshit and you want to say go fuck yourself, you have no idea what you're talking about, right? Like, don't act like you know me. And so I had no real opinion about it. It was like, he's saying that he's changing. Yes, I got it. He lied. He lied a lot. But there are turning points in people's lives, whether this is one for him or not. And let's say he is a narcissistic motherfucker. Number one, I'm not a doctor. I can only take my own experience and draw parallels, okay? But at some point in time, I have to say, not everything you come in contact with is parallel to your experience. That was a part of my healing, right? I was looking at Tom Sandoval this season and specifically in this scene. Please make me believe that just because someone does something shitty does not, I'm going to get emotional, does not make them a shitty person. Because that's how it's been for a year and a half of my life. Mm-hmm. Of every person that I come in contact with, specifically straight men, they do one thing and I'm like, this is a red flag, you're a piece of shit. And I feel like I need to warn people about you. And it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. So going into that conversation, my biggest thing was, if you're truly healing, I'm really happy for you. If you're not and you're just putting this facade on, I get to go home and be me, and I'm happy about that. And you have to stay being you. And I don't have to live in your head. So you're ultimately the one that has to deal with the shit that you're saying that's coming out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. If it's real or it's not, you have to sleep with that. I don't have to sleep with that. I've never had to. Yeah. Like, I've always kept you at arm's length. But I felt the need to have that conversation with him to make him understand this is so far beyond one thing, which was last year, which I still, it's mind-blowing because it's beyond the cheating. It's the looking in the eyes. We can go down the whole freaking scroll of shit that was fucking weird. But I wasn't directly affected by it. It was a trigger for me, but it did not affect my life. Mm-hmm. Right? It was just a trigger. It just reminded me of my own shit. And now I'm trying to let that go. So if I'm going to let my own shit go, then I can certainly try to hear you out. Mm-hmm. And let you know that there's a plethora of reasons why I have a fucking problem with you. And you need to understand what they are. And we're not going to have you bring up all the things that I've done to you. Because we can each have a heyday with each other. At some point, we've got to just have a productive conversation. Yeah. And for me, that conversation was not, we're moving forward and being friends. This is, we're going to move forward so that I can see you in a room and I don't go, oh, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
I don't want that. So there we go.
Well, that's, I mean, I always say the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. So it's like, you're just indifferent to him. They say that, I mean, because if you hate someone, it's because you just, there's, having so much feeling towards someone is still that feeling. They're taking your energy. If you're indifferent, they can't take your energy. You're like, okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it was a great episode. If you want to just end on, I'd love to mention the dinner scene or whatever it was, you guys at Sir, where you, I thought this was special, and here's why. You see the moment in your eyes where you hear about Matt, Katie and Max, and you kind of like look around at the group, and there's this shift of like, ugh, like I'm leaving. Who are these people? And it gives me goosebumps because I think it's setting up a lot for the rest of the season. For you, I think there's the shift, and I'm excited to see all of the episodes, but like the finale, I'm drooling after freaking that scene from you. I just think, I think there's a lot coming. That's all I'll say.
Let's cut to Ache and Relief.
It's juicy.
Oh my God. Who's going first?
TT.
Oh, well, I spoke about my ache already. The anxiety. Mm-hmm. That has been my ache of the past few weeks. But my relief is I have a doctor's appointment that I am going to get some answers, which is kind of helping out already.
Of course, of course.
Ache, anxiety, relief, doctor's appointment for anxiety.
Yay!
That is an actual ache and relief. I know. So proud of you.
We're so proud of you, TT.
We're so proud. My ache and relief, you guys. My hair is slowly but surely
falling out,
starting to grow back.
Oh,
like so is Lisa's, by the way. Lala's mom, Lisa.
She has like the little skunk happening.
But that's the thing. I will wake up in the morning. My baby hairs are like all in my hairdresser. I thought that it was breakage. I was like, "What is going on?" She was like, "These are new hairs." But now I wake up in the morning and I have like naturally kind of curly hair. So I have like the straight, like gangly whatever is left. I have all these curly hairs
that are brand new and just happy to be here.
Kyle said I look like, you know, when a potato sprouts is old and sprouts the thing. So when I walk out in the morning, he says I look like a potato that
has
sprouted.
You look like an old potato.
Yeah, a wrinkly ass.
And he still loves you.
Crusty potato, and he still loves me.
Crusty potato.
So that is my ache and my relief.
My ache of the week was finding out that Kate Middleton has been battling cancer.
Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking. I understood why people... Well, actually, I didn't understand. Because I just feel like when someone... Like my mom explained it perfectly. This is many, many years of a family in power. Right? And when they see that the next family, they've trusted this family for many years. So when someone who's about to take over goes MIA, they start feeling like they start feeling unsafe. Right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I understand why they're demanding answers. Us over here in the United States, because we're so fucking out of touch with everything. And we just want, what can I post that's going to get a lot of likes? And what are people going to write about today? You know, I was like, buffoonery at its finest.
Buffoonery.
Welcome to America, where Donald Trump can become fucking president. Did you see the Stormy Daniels?
It's all making me sick. It's
like, he was our president and could be again.
No, it's making
it's fucking
me
terrifying.
It's horrifying. I'm scared for us all.
I'm so scared. Like, I'm so fucking scared.
It makes me feel powerless.
So let me tell you, that is my ache of the week. And I wish her nothing but health and happiness. And you know what? If you need to retreat, I hope you retreat and take care of yourself. And you have three beautiful children, and that is way more important than whatever else is going on in the outside world. Again, I'm not running shit, all right? I'm running Give Them Lala. So if I disappear, not many people are going to give a fuck, okay?
Not true. No, well, we'll be with her. What do you mean?
You know? So that's what I'm wishing for. My relief of the week is that I'm going on a Dodo dream date.
Yay!
Let me tell you what this means. Today, I have teamed up with the Dodo, and I'm going on a doggy date with this sexy pit bull mix named Goofy, and he's from the Animal Rescue Mission. There's a huge problem I know specifically in Los Angeles. Maybe in California, I'm going to get the deets, right? But there's more dogs than there are people, and people are surrendering their dogs left and right. I cannot stress enough, please adopt, do not shop, please spay and neuter your animals, because I'm looking at this gorgeous animal and my mission today is to find him a home. Now, I've been on dates with a lot of dogs before, right?
Hey.
And then I realized, I was like, we're going on dates with the wrong kind of dog. I need the ones that are furry and on all fours. That's what's wrong here. So Goofy and I are about to go bump gums, get to know each other.
I love it.
You know, I just want to know about his past. I'm going to tell him about my past, you know, things that have gone wrong in relationships. We're going to grab a sandwich. I will say, though, I'm hooked just based on the looks, but it's also about personality. And we've spoken a few times, and he's really funny.
He's a charmer.
Goofy.
So that's my relief. I'm very, very, very excited about this.
Yay! I cannot wait.
You guys, I love you so much. I had so much fun on this episode. I loved laughing and cracking jokes, crying a little bit. And I will catch you guys next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.